In this pop culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings,
digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On the Street proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Art Squad.
Bastards and wenches, welcome to episode 259 of No Borders, No Race, your J-pop and alternative hotspot. I am your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And listeners, as you are very well aware, it is December right now. And as longtime fans of this show know, this is usually the time of the year where I start looking back at the best that Japan and the rest of the world had to offer, as well as showcase my favorite anime openings and endings that aired these last 12 months. But, you know, I'll be blunt, I kind of half-assed the previous episode of No Borders, No Race because I was in too much of a celebratory mood to focus. So, to make it up for all of you, I'm doing one more regular episode before I move on to our year in review stuff. And on today's episode, the Warner Brothers and the Warner sister make their return to the small screen. Bill Murray helps a daughter worried about her marriage, and on this week's A Bastard Soapbox, the aftermath of the 2020 election. Now, since there were no talking segments last time, there will be no Nihongo Yoyaku for me in this opening. Hontoni gomennasai. However, there will be one near the end of this episode, so stay tuned for that. But I want to take this opportunity to mention that this Saturday, on December 5th, I will be hosting a special Showa Boston and Cultural Exchange Initiative event online at 7 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time. I will be chatting with students and teachers from Showa Boston, as well as showcase performances from a couple of students' bands from Japan. Go to www.ceinitiative.org/event/re.html for more info regarding where you can watch it. It'll be live via Zoom and YouTube, but right now I don't quite know which will be the preferred way to view it. But for now, let us start today's podcast show. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and would like to support these artists, you can find their music on CD Japan, Amazon, Yes Asia, Apple Music, Spotify, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start things off with a song from this year's Target album from the Yui-fronted Flower Flower. This particular song reminds me a lot of Asobi Sexy and a slice of Jesus and Mary Jane. It's called Tabi no Tochu.
Sorry. Passion, freedom, knowledge. The Abstract Japan Podcast at abstractjapan.com.
Shinma EP, that was Uchikubi Gokumon Dokokai with Neko no Wakusei. And every week you can hear Uchikubi Gokumon Dokokai performing the end theme to the short anime series, that is The Bottleneck. It's a weird show, but it's pretty entertaining. Now speaking of weird and fun shows, Animaniacs. When I was younger, this was the hottest cartoon on the air. The antics of Yakko, Wacko, and Dot were some of the best shorts Warner Brothers gave us since the golden age of Looney Tunes. Add on the silliness of Pinky and the Brain, Slappy Squirrel, Buttons and Mindy, Goodfeathers, and Rita and Runt, The series erased the line that separated kids and adult humor to bring forth the perfect family show. I'm also pretty certain that the Minerva Minx shorts made some kids feel a little too happy, myself included, as evident by there being only two before she became a mere background character. Anyways, as you probably know, Animaniacs is back, with the original cast reprising their roles and ready to poke fun of everything under the 21st century sun. However, the only downside is that these episodes, these new ones, only have the Warners and Pinky and the Brain, though I do believe the rest of the crew will return in some fashion, since they do show up in episode 5, not to spoil anything, but it's a really, really cool cameo. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. The real question is, can Animaniacs, which was very famously politically incorrect and filled with risque humor that went over most kids' heads, survive in the year 2020? The short answer to that question is yes. It feels good to see and hear these antics again, updated to the modern era. There are jokes about modern technology, memes, and instant online fame, as well as some more non-topical humor surrounding classic literature and the Olympic Games. Pinky and the Brain attempt world domination by taking on the Red Scare, dragons, and even Edward Snowden, and most of the time, the comedy hits. However, there were only a few instances where I felt like the comedy hit as hard as it did back in the 90s. Over the last three decades, we've been blessed to have shows like South Park, Bob's Burgers, Big Mouth, and, during its good years, Family Guy, which don't hold back the punches that Animaniacs had to do for the sake of the kids watching. On top of that, even anime comedy like Konosuba, Osobi Yasubase, and Mr. Osamatsu have demonstrated a sense of humor that, while Animaniacs perfected the formula for, added more flavors that made it stand out a little bit more. Because of these other shows, the comedy in this 2020 reboot of Animaniacs doesn't shine as brightly as these other programs. But there is time for Animaniacs to re-grease its wheels. It certainly takes a couple of episodes of this 2020 version before it starts to get back into its groove, before that sense of familiarity that the original show had. Before this new season aired, I wound up rewatching all of Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain. Yeah, even the dreaded Almira season that got the show canned. And unlike something like Yashahime Princess Half Demon, which has a surprisingly fluid transition between Inuyasha and the new spinoff, Animaniacs has something of a jarring transition. The two reasons behind it are the animation and the voice acting. While the new look is good for 2020, it doesn't have the same charm as the traditionally hand-painted original did. And despite my happiness that the original cast is back, their voices haven't exactly aged as beautifully as they could have. Rob Paulsen and Jess Harnell sound a little gravelly as Yakko and Wacko, though Paulsen does better as Pinky in Dr. Scratch and Sniff. Tress MacNeille and Maurice LaMarche, on the other hand, haven't aged a day as Dot and the Brain. They still sound fantastic, especially when Dot sings. Though I will say this isn't actually part of the script. I do recall Rob Paulsen having some form of throat cancer, so I think that might be some of the reason behind the reason why Yakko sounds the way he does. So it's not the fault of his or anything like that. It's just, you know, something that happened due to an unfortunate circumstance. But anyways, overall, the new Animaniacs isn't as gut-punching as, say, the new Spitting Image is, but it's still fun to watch. The comedy doesn't hit a grand slam all of the time, but when it does, it will take you by surprise. You can catch Animaniacs on Hulu, with a second season currently in the works. Hopefully in the next one, those kinks that this first season had will be worked out, because a show like Animaniacs deserves to go full throttle. Let's just cross our fingers that Wacko rips the brakes out to avoid punchlines that feel more pillowy than, fisty. Anyways, let's head back to some more music. Coming at you from Liverpool is Candy Opera, who recently reunited after initially calling it a day back in 1992. Their new album is named after one of my ex-girlfriends, the patron saint of heartache. From that record is Five Senses, Four Seasons.
Feels like we got a lot done, but it's only just begun. It seems like I haven't sat down for days, but I wouldn't want it any other way. The wheels keep turning and we can't slow down the clocks. So come on, come on, come on, let's give it our best shot. Feels like we got a lot done, but we've only just begun. It seems like I haven't sat down for days, but I wouldn't want it any other way. Wheels keep turning and we can't slow down the clocks. So come on, come on, come on, let's give it our best shot. Five senses, four seasons, fills my life's reason. Cool, clear like water, learning to love your own.
Clickbait, paywalls, or shilling around. At Scarlet Rhapsody, we are an independent web zone covering conventions across the country. Scarlet Rhapsody breaks it down for you. The guests, the dealers, the culture, the cosplay, the trending fandoms, and what makes a convention worth the price of admission. Are you convention cultured? You will be. Visit us on the web at scarlet-rhapsody.com, Facebook at Scarlet Rhapsody Media, Twitter at Cons and Churros, YouTube at Scarlet Rhapsody Convention Cultured, and remember, the con is what you make of it, so make it a good one. See you at the con.
心は真っ赤なのに、あの子にもあの人にも言わないけれど、本当は心は真っ赤なのよ。
The Tomboys with Blue Eyes from last year's EP, Now and Run. On January 10th, the Tomboys will be part of Kobe Goodies Collection's Rock and Roll Circus, where they will be playing alongside the Neat Beats, the Mad Gentles, and a few other artists whose identity remains a mystery. And now, folks, it's time for what I think may be my final time in 2020, where I stand up and get things off of my chest with no filter whatsoever. It's time for a Bastard Soapbox. I am happy that Joe Biden won. Let me just get that out of the way first. I'm excited to know that we're going to have a competent person in the White House again. One that won't tweet every few seconds with words that feel like they're coming from a third world dictator. I look forward to these next 4 years as we rebuild an image that has been demolished by these last 4 years of lies, deceit, and pure hatred. What I'm not happy with are the 73,805,189 people who voted for the orange ass clown again. After all these years of cruelty, as well as an attitude that shows that he gives zero shits about us, even during a deadly pandemic, it should have woken up at least half of that number and placed their trust elsewhere. But as I said in a previous Bastard Soapbox, they voted for him because he hates the same people as they do. That's enough for them to think he deserves to still be president. Those nearly 74 million people continue to fuel the flames that the crying orangutan have uttered in speeches and on his Twitter feed, and the fact that they can't live in reality shows just how mentally disturbed his supporters are. When Obama was president, that should have been the moment where a lot of the gross hatred that has spewed throughout America was exterminated. Instead, it was merely swept under the rug, only to reemerge from beneath in 2016. The America I grew up in is a lot different than the America that those who are minorities grew up with, and it shows just how bad things still are for those whose skin color or sexual orientation or even gender are different from mine. I may be blinded by some sort of patriotism when things seem to be fine here in Massachusetts, but at least I'm not ignorant over the fact that other states don't have it as good as we do. Now, I don't say that as a way to rub it in. Rather, I want people from Nebraska or Wyoming or the Dakotas to have the same good things as we do in New England. But I feel like the people who run those states are purposely keeping their citizens ignorant to sway to their ways. I laugh sometimes when someone claims to be progressive, when in all of their political career, they've done practically nothing to bring progress to their states. Like, do you not know the meaning of the word that you claim to be? At any rate, we as a country have a long way to go before we once again become the nation we say we are. We have many bridges to rebuild, many people to rekindle relationships with, and many walls to tear down. This 2020 election has shown me that good can triumph over evil, but it also shows that evil can still show up in great numbers. It's why we need to be careful these next, let's say, 20 years to make sure that the wickedness that lies within the American public never rises to the highest seat in office ever again. As of this recording, the tanned monster has yet to concede, even when the writing's on the wall with the results and recounts. But the plans are already set in motion for Biden to rightfully take over. Deep down, I know that this transition won't be easy. It already hasn't been, as evident by all of the lawsuits and his supporters still whining over his loss. His influence won't go away overnight, nor will it be gone in a year. It will linger until people are better educated and better informed about how things work in this world and what is deemed right and wrong in the eyes of the common individual. It's not going to be easy, and it never was. Eradicating hate is something we've been trying to do since the dawn of time. It won't ever go away, but there is something that we can do to rip the power from its hands. And this election year, we did just that. Hate is nothing without power. It is a crazy person spouting conspiracy theories while reeking of cheap whiskey and black tar heroin. And the last thing we want to do is give someone like that any form of power. America learned that the hard way these last 4 years. And I'm not exactly confident that we've 100% learned our lesson. Time will tell. And hopefully over these next 4 years, we will start recognizing ourselves in the mirror again. We'll become a good nation once more, and no longer the joke that we've come to be told at world summits. We just need to be patient, as well as take away the microphones and megaphones from those who try to keep progress from happening. It won't happen in the blink of an eye, but I have hope that better times for all Americans will be coming. We just all need to be patient. And that is my final soapbox of 2020. Remember, these are the opinions of myself and not of that of the Electric Sisterhood, Wicked Anime, Omniverse Media, or the artists that I play on this show. I'm happy that I get this stuff off of my chest on this program because I don't like the feeling of letting it grow in my belly without it being released. Some of you may not enjoy this new segment, but I hope those who don't understand why I do have to take off the King Baby Duck persona and be as frank as I possibly can. But hey, good news for you, no more of this until probably late January. So, on that note, let's return to some more music and some good times. Last year, Bandmade released a joke EP based on traditional geisha music, and it went to show that even when in jest, the band rocks ridiculously hard. From band Maiko, this is Yososio.
Hi!
Don't
It's the Mike Rogers Show coming to you live from Tokyo, Japan. A year-end special. And I'll be with my good friend, Evan Borgald. And you can tune into the Mike Rogers Show. We play Japanese music, Japanese pop, Japanese... And you can win a bazillion dollars on this show. I don't know how you can, but maybe, you know, if you listen to the show, maybe you can somehow, maybe buy a raffle ticket or something. The Mike Rogers Show. Yes, tune in. We're going to have our year-end top five countdown. It's going to be way cool, and you can hear more good songs just like this.
From their 2018 album Possessor, that was Ghost with Sigil. I've been on a little bit of a synthwave kick these last few weeks, and this band popped up on my radar in a way that just simply wowed me. It's like if synthwave crossed over with the deathcore genre. Just some really, really good shit to headbang to. Right now, we're going to play something from Gesu no Kiwami Otome's fantastic 2018 album, Suki Naruto Anai. And the band recently unleashed their latest album, Streaming, but as of this recording, that album's kind of hard to come by here in America, so I'll try my best to get my hands on it in some way or form, maybe for a future episode. Anywho, from Tsuki Naruto and I, this is Getsu no Kiwami Otome with Battling.
Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube, Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
ことさえ知らないで何もない日々と
From last year's album, Shiro to Iro Iro, that was Sonoko Inoue with Fantastic. And COVID permitting, Inoue-san will be performing on December 11th at Shibuya's Vitz in celebration of her 23rd birthday. If it happens, I hope it's a wonderful celebration. Bill Murray has reunited once again with Sofia Coppola, who brought him to Japan in the masterful Lost in Translation and revived holiday cheer with a very Murray Christmas. In the new film On the Rocks, Bill plays a father to Rashida Jones, who fears that her husband may be having an affair with a co-worker. So the two follow him on his trail to see what they can find, with the two traveling throughout New York and even Mexico to find some hint of infidelity. From this description, On the Rocks sounds like an exciting film, but I'm here to tell you that it is a very slow-paced movie. The pairing of Bill and Rashida doesn't exactly fire on all cylinders with comedic gold. There's more of a sweetness to their pairing, as the two catch up and talk about each other's problems and philosophies. It's from Bill's character, where we see his thoughts on why the husband may be cheating on his daughter, and that's because he himself has done all of this sort of stuff in the past. In his own way, Murray tries to save his daughter from having to deal with a man who's exactly like him. One who jumps from relationship to relationship, as well as have some sort of sexist viewpoint in life and love. It's a warning tale of sorts, where sometimes the best fathers aren't always the best husbands. And the same, of course, can be said about the best mothers not being the best wives, as gender has nothing to do with how good one can be in a relationship. Now, I don't want to spoil too much about On the Rocks, especially with the way it ends. But it says a lot when we as humans watch a film and we want there to be something wrong with a relationship, something dirty about a marriage, something rotten in one's soul. Perhaps we as people should rethink about one's expectations and viewpoints over what constitutes as entertainment from time to time. However, I will say this. I've never seen Marlon Wayans act this wonderfully in a film, and I honestly hope he tries his hand at more drama down the line. You can catch On the Rocks on Apple TV. It's definitely worth a watch, preferably when you have nothing going on and have nothing to distract you. Go into it not expecting anything, and I am certain you'll come out of it feeling just a little better about humanity in general. Also, shout out to Apple for putting Apple TV on the PlayStation. Now I don't have to watch their stuff on my computer screen. So yeah, that's convenient for me at least. Let's go back to some music right now. From the Canadian music capital, Toronto, comes Madison Wajnay, whose debut album, Save Our Hearts, will be unleashed on December 11th. This is a little sneak peek from that record that goes by the name Killing Desire.
I'm not afraid to die. Hi, this is Clay Inferno, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great. I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast, but mostly this is a interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life. And hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod, or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I in that Inferno, at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com. But you are here at ITThinkThisIsGreat.com. So do me a favor, once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating, and please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I Think This Is Great.
Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think your business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal. Windows backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
Self-titled album, that was The Tuesday with Weekend. And seeing as they haven't updated their website since 2017, I don't have much to report on them. Great song, though! And now, folks, since we didn't do it in the intro, we are going to do the Nihongo Yoyaku for the topics that we just discussed in this very episode. Sa, hajimaru yo! Nijuni nenkan hosso sare nakatta nochi, Animaniacs wa futatsu no atarashi season de fukatsu shimasu. Genmo miroku wa mada nokotte imasu ga, yumoe wa sore hodo suru doko arimasen. Tadashi, shipitsu ga kaizen sare, sai-ai no series kara hoka no kyarakta ga modotte kuru de aru koto o kitai shite imasu. 次に Yunonan hito ga daito ro to shite yatte kuru no wa yoi koto desu. Shikashi, Amerika wa koko sunen kan ni shoujita zuo o oshisageru tame no doryoku ga hitsuyo desu. Kotoba ni doko ga aru hito o damaru seyo to suru kagiri, hontou ni oku no hito ga moichido sonke suru kuni ni naru koto ga dekimasu. Saigo ni, Belle Mary wa shinsaku ega On the Rocks de Sofia Coppola to saikai shimasu. Yoi ega desu ga, bubun teki ni osoku naru konose ga arimasu. Shikashi, ega no saigo wa hitobito ga nichijou no dorama de kaosu o nozumu no o yameru hitsuyo ga aru koto o shisashite imasu. My thanks again to my teacher Mikio Hattori Sensei for the translation of that segment. Remember, if you'd like to know more information on her cultural exchange initiative, please be sure to visit their website at ceinitiative.org. Right then, let's play just a couple more songs. We've got a jazzy little number from Ringo Sheena, which can be found on her Apple of Universal Gravity compilation album. To class things up, this is Camouflage.
Remember the old school video games you grew up with? Curious about gaming history that's all but forgotten? Do you just like the sound of my voice? Hey, David here, and I host and produce the show ArtCast, which is short for Another Retro Gaming Podcast. Come join me every week for fun discussions with a variety of guests and friends within the gaming industry discussing the retro titles we all love. We also tackle retro gaming related news, play the game show Random Select, and do game giveaways. So give us a listen at RetroZap.com/ArtCast or on any major podcast platform like iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and more. Thanks for listening, and keep it retro.
From the live album Big Time, that was Tom Waits with Rain Dogs. And if you've got Amazon Prime, do yourselves a favor and watch the movie version of Big Time. It's the closest experience you'll ever get to see what it's like in the master songwriter's head. No word yet about any new recordings or anything from him, but one can dream, damn it! Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos from the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com, like us on facebook.com/bostonbashbrigade, and follow us on b3crew.tumblr.com. And you can follow me, Your King Baby Duck, on Twitter, the J-pop, video games, anime, amino pages, Instagram, and Twitch at King Baby Duck ESH. Don't forget to give some love to our friends at Black Compat, which you can find at blackcompat.com, twitch.tv/blackcompat, and youtube.com/blackcompat. Promotional consideration provided for this week's tracks from Candy Opera and Medicine Wajne, made possible by Shameless Promotion PR. And a very special thank you to the Rubes for their contribution to Shameless Tuesdays. Big shout out to Mike Rogers for contributing the song from The Tuesday. Again, this Saturday on December 5th, I will be emceeing a special Show of Boston and Cultural Exchange Initiative event online at 7 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time. There will be discussions, musical performances, and just a little bit more. Go to ceinitiative.org/event/re.html for more information. And on that note, we will soon begin our Best of 2020 shows. The best albums from Japan and the best albums from the rest of the world. I have been going back and forth with AFLM from Wicked Anime about his favorite records of 2020, and who knows, it might be a really interesting year. I don't even know if we have any albums that match this year. You'll have to find out sooner or later. We'll also play an episode where we're going to have our favorite openings and endings for anime of 2020. For our final song, we're going to get ourselves killed with another collaboration between J-pop sensation Satellite Young and Sweden's Mitch Murder. This can be found on Mitch's Selection 5 album, and the song is called Time Paradox. And until next time, this is your King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps. This is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo, from the Electric Sisterhood, and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.